Because what if Kieran was wrong? What if after Castile accomplished what he wanted, when he fulfilled his end of the bargain, all that remained was lies and betrayals? I wanted to believe we were heartmates, in spite of everything that made that seem impossible. I stayed underwater, desperately searching for strength and common sense. I stayed until my lungs burned. When I broke the surface, there was still nothing but want and need for him. Hands trembling, I scooped the hair back from my face as I blinked away the dampness clinging to my lashes, and lost my breath, lost a little bit more of myself. Castile had entered the pool. He stood several feet away, having already gone under the water himself. His midnight hair was slicked back from his face, and water sluiced down his chest. So much taller than me, the frothing water only reached just above his navel. He looked very much like I imagined a god would, the fractured rays of sunlight glistening off his damp skin. His intense gaze snagged mine, and that sense of awareness from before returned, passing between us. It was like a strike of lightning, thickening the already balmy air. "I've been thinking," he said, gliding through the water toward me. "You have?" My pulse pounded everywhere. He nodded. "I have." I had to crane my neck back as he stopped only a handful of inches in front of me. "Do I want to know what you've been thinking about?"
"You'll probably say no."
He drifted forward, his movements graceful and purposeful, and I moved backward.
"But that will be a lie."
"How would you know?"
"I know a lie when I see one," he replied,
crowding me back against the smooth rock wall.
"More importantly, I know when you lie."
There was a catch in my breath as he placed his hands on the rock, like he'd done earlier. Could he sense my desire? Even in all this water and under the potent scent of lilac? I pressed against the warm rock, thinking that it was impossible for my heart to beat any faster. "What are you thinking about?"
"My idea."
His breath coasted over my cheek.
"You might be interested in it."
"Doubtful," I murmured.
"You haven't even heard what it is yet, princess."
Those lips grazed the curve of my jaw, and the edges of his damp hair touched my cheek, causing me to gasp.
"Yeah, I definitely know you'll be interested."
Edginess swamped me as my head tipped back against the rock without conscious thought. "Why don't you tell me what it is, and I will let you know if I'm interested." His chuckle was rough as one of his hands left the rock. My stomach hollowed as his fingers met the bare skin of my waist.
"Only if you promise not to lie."
"If you can tell when I'm lying." A shaky breath left me as he shifted closer, his chest brushing mine with each breath he took. The contact sent waves of shivers through me, tightening the tips of my breasts to almost painful points.
"What were you saying, princess?"
he asked, and I felt him smile against my cheek. "What was I saying?" It took a moment for me to remember. "If you know I'm lying, why would it matter if I told the truth?"
"Because you know that the truth is important."
The hand left my waist, trailing down my hip, stirring the water. Bubbles danced over my legs, between them. A wicked feeling curled low in my core.
"The truth is permission."
My unfocused gaze crept over the cones of blue and purple blossoms. "Is it?"
"It is."
He paused.
"Did you know that the bite, until it's fully healed, becomes an erogenous zone? A point of pleasure? It can give you the same feelings as the bite. Almost. Did you know?"
I thought I did. "No."
Want me to show you? He offered. I know you're a curious sort.
Yes, I whispered, dizzy with anticipation.
Remember, Princess, this is just to assuage your curiosity, nothing more.
I know. My fingers curled against the rock.
Good.
Then his mouth closed over the bite. He sucked on the skin, drawing it between his teeth. My back arched, dragging the hard peaks of my breasts against his chest. I shuddered, becoming liquid.
Good gods! Did I ever tell you what you taste like?
His tongue lapped over the sensitive mark.
Honeydew,
I whispered, eyes drifting shut as I turned my head toward his, seeking what I knew I shouldn't want.
You dirty girl. I'm not talking about that.
He nipped at my jaw, drawing another gasp from me.
I'm talking about your blood. But now you've dragged my mind into unseemly places.
Your mind always resides in unseemly places. He laughed deeply.
I can't deny that.
His nose brushed mine as his mouth drew closer to my lips.
Your blood tastes old to me, powerful but light, like moonlight. Now I know why.
How does anything taste like moonlight?
Magic, I imagine. Now stop distracting me when I'm trying to tell you about my idea.
I'm not. I bit down on my lip as his hand slipped down my thigh. I'm not being distracting.
Oh, yes. You're always so damn distracting,
he chided gently. Sounds like that's your problem.
It's both our problems.
What are you asking permission for? I sounded breathless, as if I were standing on an edge. What is this idea?
If you want, he said, his chest rising and falling against mine, sending darts of forbidden pleasure through me. We can pretend again.
His hand slid along my thigh, higher and higher. The tips of his fingers reached evidence of what I knew he'd already sensed. My hips jerked at the illicit thrill as a breathy moan parted my lips. He dragged his mouth over mine. It wasn't a kiss, just a passing glance of his mouth against mine.
You can pretend.
Cool air seeped in as he lifted his head.
You can pretend that this isn't because you don't have a need of me.
My heart felt like a trapped butterfly as I opened my eyes. His were blazing, a heated honey. I don't. The curve of his lips was cruelly sensual.
You can pretend that this?
He eased a finger inside me, just the tip. But I rose up on my toes. His eyes turned luminous as his gaze drifted over my face and then lower to where my breasts had risen up above the churning water. He lifted his gaze to mine as he pressed his finger in further, and I could feel my inner muscles clenching around him.
That this has nothing to do with you wanting me.
I don't, I told him. Even as I lifted my hips off the rock, pressing against his hand, against him. Castile hissed as my stomach brushed the hot, hard length of him. He pushed me back to the rock, trapping his hand between us as his chest flattened against mine. The skin-to-skin contact, the way he slowly pumped his finger, shorted out my senses.
You can pretend that it's just the sensitive bite on your neck, causing you to squirm against my hand.
I was squirming as best I could.
You can pretend that's the reason you wish it was my cock you were grabbing onto so tightly.
His head dipped to mine once more.
We can both pretend. And we both can...
Can what? I breathed. Just be Hawk and Poppy? For a moment, the hardness etched onto his features slipped and then cracked, revealing the near-desperate need underneath. A need for me. For us. What if Kieran was right? I could barely breathe, let alone think, but I knew what he meant. Gods, did I ever. And in this moment, we wanted the same. Perhaps we needed the same. To just feel and let everything else fall to the wayside. To just be here, in these seconds and minutes, and no place else. Could we do that? Maybe he could. Perhaps this was all about slaking a physical need for him, even as inexplicable as that was. Why couldn't I? I wanted what he could give me, pleasure, momentary escape, experience, a sense of freedom, because that's what release felt like. How was that a betrayal to anyone, including myself? Wasn't denying it more treacherous? Or was I lying to myself even now? And if so, did that even matter? His touch stilled as he searched my face for an answer. And in that moment, I realized that this was my life. What existed between Castile and I was neither right nor wrong. It was messy and complicated, and maybe I'd regret this later as I gave him more and more pieces of me. But I wanted him, and I was so done denying myself anything. I was done lying to him and to myself. Only on one condition, I said. You have a condition now. I nodded, my heart thundering. I don't want to pretend, I whispered. I'm Poppy, and you're Castile, and this is real. Chapter 31. Can you agree to that? I asked. His eyes drifted shut for a heartbeat. All the striking lines of his face were tense.
Always, he whispered. Yes.
I reacted and pulled away from the rock, closing the distance between our mouths. I kissed him. I knew the moment my lips touched Castile's, the very second his lips parted, that this was real. I lifted my hands from the rock, looping them around his neck as I took what I wanted, tasting him on the tip of my tongue, reveling in the decadent thrill of his sharp teeth. I didn't know what I was doing, only that instinct guided me. I moved my lips against his, nipping and exploring and learning. And Castile didn't seem at all bothered by the artless inexperience. If anything, it seemed to inflame him. He gave me what I wanted, kissing me with a wild sort of abandon that bordered on crazed. When he ended the kiss, he was breathing just as heavily as I was.
We're not pretending, Poppy. No more? You want me, knowing everything. You want me.
What do you think? I moved against his hand in demand. His other hand dropped to my hip, stilling my movements.
I need to hear you say it, Princess.
Of course he did. Yes, I nearly cursed.
I want you.
Good.
He slipped his hand from between my legs,
because this is real.
Before I could feel the loss of his wicked hand, he gripped my thighs and lifted me. I gasped, hands slipping over his shoulders as more than half of my body left the water.
Hook your legs around my waist, he commanded softly. Do it.
I did as he requested without complaint. It was rare. I hoped he'd recognized that. He moved his hands back to my hips as he looked down to where my breasts were pillowed against his chest.
I would love to take my time because there are so many different ways I'd love to be real with you. Lay you out on the rocks and lick every inch of your body. Make you come that way. And then I'd want you on your knees and your mouth around my cock.
I shuddered at the depraved images his words brought forth. That act had been in Miss Willa's diary, and it had seemed abhorrent when I'd read it. But now, It sounded intriguing. I don't know how to do that.
I don't think you could do it wrong,
he told me, eyes flaring intently.
But I'd show you. I'd show you how to use your mouth and tongue. If we had time, we would play.
His hands tightened at my waist.
But we don't have time, Princess.
No, my heart pounded. We don't. His gaze held mine.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
The muscles under my hands bunched as he said, Princess, Your Highness. Those eyes of his turned to molten amber.
I'm going to need you to hold on to me and not let go, because I'm about to fuck you like I promised.
I gasped at his lewd, deliciously so, words.
Yes, please.
Castile didn't respond with words. He did so with action, guiding me down until I felt him nudging my entrance. I bit down on my lip.
Lower your legs, he demanded. Just a little. There, that's perfect.
His lips returned to mine.
You're perfect.
My words ended in a cry that he captured with a kiss. He filled me, stretching me until I wasn't sure if this position would work or if I would work. I'd only done this twice. But I held on, my fingers digging into his skin as he kept sinking into me, deeper and deeper, until there was no space between us. And Castile shook. He dragged one hand down my back, folding his arm around me. And then he held me there, against his chest, buried deep inside.
You okay?
He rasped, lips brushing mine.
Poppy?
I nodded, easing my grip on his shoulders.
You sure?
Yes, I whispered, my eyes closed. It didn't hurt. It didn't feel exactly comfortable, but I knew there was more. I shifted, wiggling my hips. He groaned my name,
Poppy.
I ignored the way my heart clenched in response to his voice. I didn't want that. I wanted the hardness between my legs and inside me, needed what it made me feel. I didn't want my heart getting involved. I squirmed, gasping as pleasure sparked.
Gods, Poppy, I'm trying.
A sound rumbled from him, vibrating through me.
I'm trying to make sure you're ready.
I'm ready, I told him.
I've been ready.
He cursed, but then he moved, thrusting his hips up as the hand on mine pulled down. My eyes went wide at the raw sensation of him moving inside me, slow and deep. I sighed. Muscles I didn't realize were even tense, relaxing.
That's it.
His words were barely a whisper.
Gods, you feel.
The hand guiding me spasmed and then loosened as I lifted myself on his length.
You feel like all I could ever want.
I'd never wanted to believe something more in my life, and that realization threatened everything.
We're being real, I reminded him.
Seeking out his mouth. Don't lie to me now. He went rigid against me for a handful of seconds, and then he bit down a harsh laugh.
You're right.
His hand fisted in my hair, pulling back my head.
We don't need to lie now.
His mouth covered mine, and one of his fangs scraped my lip, dragging a husky moan from me. A staggered heartbeat later, we were back at that rock. One of his arms around me, and the other hand in my hair, the only things between the hard surface and my skin, as he rolled into me, pinning my hips. And then he did what he promised. Castile fucked. His hips slammed into mine, and the way I was held there, all I could do was whatever he demanded. I held on as the frothy water foamed and bubbled violently around us. Each thrust of his hips felt as greedy as the strokes of my tongue against his. Every plunge of his hips felt more like an act of possession than the one before. My head fell back, but never reached the rock because of his hand. And the world was a kaleidoscope of broken sunlight, slate-colored walls, and vibrant petals. I tightened. Everything in me tightened as his head dropped to my shoulder, his body grinding into mine. I curled myself around him, pressing my face into his neck, tasting the sweet water and the salt of his skin. My pulse thundered through me, his just as strong against my cheek. Our bodies moved in a frenzy, and it felt like he was everywhere at once, stealing my breath. There was no hesitation, no slowing down or coming up for air. We were both swept away in the madness, lost in the tension coiling tighter and tighter. I thought it would shatter me, shatter us both, but he gave me what I wanted so badly. The feel of his skin against mine crowded out the world until there was only us. The touch of his lips against my neck, my cheek, had already chased away any protests. His mouth found mine once more as his hands held me so tightly to him, so carefully preventing the sting of guilt from even forming. He moved so deeply inside me that I couldn't feel anything but him. And when release found me, it also found him, devouring us both, leaving no room to fear what awaited, and making what seemed impossible possible. I felt weightless in Castile's arms, cheek resting on his shoulder and feet floating several inches above the pool's floor. I'd attempted to move away earlier, after the last of the pleasure abated and reality started to seep in with the fading sunlight. I didn't make it far, though. Castile didn't let me. He kept his arms around me. "Not yet," he'd said, as he guided my cheek to his shoulder. It felt like permission. I didn't fight him. I blamed a lot of things for this, even though I had no desire to fight him then. The warmth of the pool and his skin, for starters, the way he moved his hand up and down my spine was entirely too soothing. The languidness in my body was also at fault, and so was the truth that it felt lovely to be held, especially like this, with no barriers between us. After being forbidden human touch for so long, his nakedness was like being offered a platter of the most decadent chocolates and sweets. I traced tiny circles on his other shoulder, wishing I had the courage to explore the hardness, the indents and scars. Instead, I satisfied my curiosity with the way his skin felt under my fingers and how his body felt like steel wrapped in satin. And I, gods, I soaked in every moment, my eyes glued to the side of his neck, the damp curl of his hair. In the secret chambers of my heart, I cherished those moments. I didn't know how long we stayed like that. Nothing but the sound of the water and the calls of the birds outside around us. Castile seemed to know exactly when someone neared the cave. "It's Kieran. He's the only one who would know to find me here." He gently disentangled himself from me, and I thought I felt his lips brush over the crown of my head. "I'll be right back." I sank to my shoulders as he glided through the water and then rose. I got an eyeful, one that shouldn't have heated my face as much as it did, given what we'd done. He stopped to grab his pants, but didn't pull them on. Castile walked out of the cavern as naked as the day he was born, and if he didn't stop to put on those pants, Kieran was about to get one hell of an eyeful. "Okay, then," I whispered, and then laughed, the sound echoing in the chamber. My head fell back as I stared at the slivers of sunlight, searching for remorse or shame. Like before, I found only uncertainty, not for what we'd shared, but for what it meant. We hadn't been pretending. What we'd shared had been real. No games, no pretenses, no half-truths. I dragged my teeth over my lower lip. It felt swollen from his kisses. I lifted my fingers to my mouth, shivering as I thought of how he'd claimed it just as thoroughly as he'd done with the rest of my body. I turned at the sound of Castile's footsteps. Thank all the gods he was halfway clothed. The flap of buttons was undone, though, and I had no idea how the pants stayed on his hips. He carried a white bundle in his hands, which he laid carefully on the floor of the cave. Kieran figured we were headed here. He brought some fresh clothes for both of us, and a towel. I couldn't even fathom how Kieran had been that intuitive, and I probably didn't want to know. He extended a hand, offering a thick white towel. It goes without saying that I prefer the naked, wet version of you, but it's time to dry off and be presentable. I shook my head as I moved forward, slowing when the bubbling water started to drop below my chest. Why was I hesitating? It wasn't like he hadn't seen my breasts, the scars, and everything else. He was waiting, watching me. Hadn't I done the same earlier? Watched him undress unabashedly? Shoring up courage, I continued on, and the strangest thing happened. Each step became easier, even as the water dropped to my ribcage and then to my navel. Even as Castile's gaze followed the water level, his lips parted slightly, and I was confident that Nyctos himself could arrive and Castile wouldn't look away from me. I realized there was power in that, in being a source of distraction for him. The edges of his fangs dragged over his lower lip as the water fizzed around my inner thighs, and then lower. Pretending or not, he enjoyed what he saw as I climbed the earthen steps. "I'll help." He spread the towel wide. "I know you don't need it, but I want to." I said nothing as I stood in front of him, bare as he'd been. He stepped in behind me, rubbing the towel over my wet hair. "This should be dried first," he explained, and I was fully aware that he was staring down at me as he squeezed the excess water from my hair. I knew he saw the tips of my breasts pucker and could see the flush I felt tinting my skin. "Wouldn't want you to catch a cold," he said, voice rough. "That's what I hear about wet hair." "Uh-huh." My jaw worked as a smile tugged at my lips. "I'm just being thorough." He slid the towel down my arms, all the way to the tips of my fingers, and then across my back. "You'll thank me later." "For being thorough?" "Among other things." He dragged the cloth over my stomach and then up, catching the water between my breasts. His hands lingered there before he turned me to him. He knelt before me, sending my stomach tumbling as he drew the towel up my left leg, then my right, and finally between them. I sucked in a sharp breath, swaying slightly. "Just being thorough," he reminded me, his eyes hooded. "I wouldn't want you unnecessarily wet, princess." I had a feeling he meant something else. The towel smoothed over my backside. "I think you're all dry now." His gaze slowly made its way to mine. "Mostly." "Yes, mostly." Grinning, he leaned his head down and kissed the faded, jagged scar on my inner thigh. The act startled me out of the pleasant haze. I watched him rise, a thousand different thoughts racing through my head as he wrapped the towel around me. I grabbed hold of the edges. "Castile, I know." He placed a finger over my lips. "What we've done here stays here." I blinked, stung at once by the words I wasn't sure I even understood. I wasn't going to say that. I honestly didn't know what I was going to say. He turned, picking up the white shirt, which was such a contrast against his tan skin. A lock of dark hair toppled over his forehead, softening his features as he bent his head, buttoning his pants. There was a curl low in my stomach. How could he make such an ordinary act as dressing appear so sensual? I honestly didn't need to stand there and watch him dress. Dropping the towel, I quickly put on my clothes.
Here.
Castile fixed my sleeves again. I didn't know exactly what it was about that moment that made me think of the consequences of what we'd just done. The fact that it hadn't even crossed my mind until now showed that I needed to make better life choices. You said that you took prevention for pregnancy, I said, recalling that he'd taken an herb that rendered both males and females temporarily infertile. Are you still covered?
Yes, I'm careful, Poppy,
he said, without hesitation, gathering up our clothing and my boots.
I wouldn't risk a child.
Between us. He hadn't said that, but it hung in the air nonetheless. And there was another odd, irrational bite. One which made no sense, because the idea of having a child with anyone was more terrifying than finding an actual creature with fins for legs and tails for arms under my bed. There was something obviously wrong with me, because it still hurt. Because what was real to him wasn't the same for me. Word of what I'd done to Beckett had spread. I knew this because everyone stared as I lifted a spoonful of thick herbal soup. Well, not everyone. Two Atlanteans had commandeered Castile's attention. So had Kieran. I had no idea where Delano and Nail had disappeared to, and it could literally be anywhere, since we were in one of the larger buildings in the town center. But the rest were either sneaking peeks in my direction, or outright staring. The mortals and Atlanteans who sat at the table before us, the wolven interspersed throughout the rest of the tables, they all stared. Not that I could blame them. I had glowed silver, and I had healed someone with my touch. I'd be staring at someone who I'd heard or seen do that too. But it was what was behind those stares that unnerved me. The air fairly vibrated with emotion, and like before, I hadn't needed to concentrate, to open myself up to feel the near hostility of most around me. Swallowing the rich, flavorful soup, I lifted my gaze to the banners that hung on either side of the door. They rippled softly in the breeze coming through the open windows, which caught the blades of several fans, keeping the packed room cool. A soft touch to my arm drew my attention to my right, where Alistair sat.
"Would you like to take your dinner in your private quarters?" he asked quietly. "If so, I can escort you back to the fort."
I lowered my spoon as I glanced to where Castile sat at the head of the table. He was listening to an Atlantean as he rooted around on a plate of cheeses, inspecting each one as if he were looking for the perfect one, or flaws. I refocused on Alistair. Do I look that uncomfortable? A tight, worried smile appeared.
You've barely touched your food.
It was hard to eat while people stared. My gaze flickered over the crowded room. Part of me wanted to excuse myself and return to my bedchamber, but this was only one of many dinners or events where I would be the object of interest. Plus, hiding in my quarters may be the easier option, but it would also be more cowardly. And besides, no one was projecting their emotions. There wasn't a screamer among them, so I could ignore them. Mostly. I'm fine, I decided. His smile didn't reach his eyes.
I know it must be hard to be around so many who aren't welcoming of you and know how they feel. I would not think ill of you if you don't want to expose yourself to that. And just know that anyone who has spent even a few minutes in your presence does not feel that way. The rest will come to know you, I'm sure. But until then, I apologize for their behavior.
He squeezed my arm gently.
Did you know that this was once a very busy trading post?
I swallowed the knot his words formed in my chest.
When Atlantia ruled over the entire kingdom, this was the first and last major city before you crossed the Skotos Mountains. There used to be thousands that once passed through here,
he said, sighing as his gaze coasted over the bare walls.
It was such a shame to see what became of this place. But Castile and these people are slowly restoring it and bringing new life.
Quentin strode out from an area where the food had been prepared, carrying a large pitcher. Another trailed behind him, shorter and younger, with a slight limp. It took me a moment to recognize the boy with the black hair and tan skin. I'd only seen him in his wolven form, and very briefly as a mortal. But his skin had been pale and clammy then.
Beckett.
I watched him refill the glasses at the end of the table and make his way toward us. As he refilled his great uncle's glass, he finally looked at me.
We already met, he whispered, kind of.
Beckett, I said, how are you feeling?
Almost perfect.
He poured water into my glass as he glanced back at Alistair before dipping his chin.
Thank you. I can't say that enough.
You already have. A wide, toothy grin broke out across his face, but quickly faded, and I felt a sharp spike of fear before he moved on to the other side of the table. Was he now afraid of me? I sat back as the knot in my chest expanded. I couldn't understand why. I'd healed him. How I'd done that, I had no idea. But Beckett had to know that I wasn't someone to fear.
Penelope, are you all right?
A ragged breath left me as I looked at Alistair. Yeah, yes. I smiled as I turned my attention back to him. They seem very helpful, Beckett and Quentin.
Respecting your elders is drilled into the young from a very early age. You will often find the youngest helping to serve food and drink at many dinner tables throughout Atlantia,
Castile explained, having overheard me. Alistair snorted.
Except for you. You always had your nose in a book at the dinner table.
Surprise distracted me from Beckett's response. What were you reading?
Usually history books or my studies,
he answered. One side of his lip tipping up.
I was an utterly boring child most of the time.
My eyes connected with Kieran's briefly, reminding me of what he'd shared about Castile being the serious one.
Well, your brother made up for that, Alistair said, shaking his head. You didn't want Malik serving you anything at dinner.
My gaze flew back to Castile, and I watched his smile grow. I didn't know what I expected, but it was so rare that anyone spoke of his brother.
Malik would often experiment with the drinks and food,
Castile said, when he caught my gaze.
And you did not want to be on the receiving end of those experiments.
I'm half afraid to ask, I said.
But you will,
Kieran murmured. I ignored the wolven. So did Castile.
He would add lemon and pepper to juice, salt to dishes meant to be sweet, and generally ruin whatever it was you were excited to eat.
That's terrible, I said, laughing. He leaned over, lashes lowering as he said,
And yet you laugh.
Yes. Castile lifted his gaze, and the heat in it sent a shiver dancing over my skin.
Probably because it sounds like something you'd do.
Possibly. He chuckled as he straightened, turning back to the other table as he returned to picking through the cheese. How many? I stopped as Castile's hand brushed mine. He placed a hunk of cheese on my plate, one that had been thinly sliced. I glanced over at him. He was now listening to another mortal from the table behind ours. Thank you. He nodded. I picked up the cheese, smiling slightly before eating a piece of it. A sudden burst of laughter drew my attention. Kieran had risen, moved to sit with a few of the men at the end of the table. The laugh had come from where Beckett and Quentin sat with Emil and some of the other men who'd traveled with Alistair. Wondering what had made Emil laugh so loudly, I tugged my attention away. My gaze collided with that of two mortals. They were older, males. One of them spoke in the other's ear. The second man, with neatly trimmed blonde hair, curled his lip. His disgust soured the cheese. I took a drink, washing away the taste. That wasn't the first unfriendly stare or mannerism I'd received, all done when Castile was distracted, like now, since he'd risen to speak with a woman who was all bones and wrinkled skin. My grip tightened on the glass. Each time I caught one of their looks or stares, I wanted to ask if they needed assistance with something. I wanted to hold their stares until they grew as uncomfortable as I felt. But I said nothing. I did nothing. Just like when the priestess scolded me or the duke lectured me.
"Don't pay them any mind," Alistair murmured quietly.
I placed my glass on the table.
"They just don't know you," he repeated.
His smile was as false as the one I often wore as the maiden.
"Their distrust or even dislike of you is something you must get used to as their princess and soon to be queen."
Queen? My entire body seized. That wasn't going to happen, I reminded myself. Even if the impossible happened and Castile and I... Well, I couldn't even finish that thought. Castile didn't want to become king.
"If you wish to step back and remove yourself from this situation, then you can't let it show that their feelings are getting to you. You can't let Castile know, lest we have another Landell situation on our hands," he continued. "I don't know for sure what he feels for you, but one thing is evident. He will act upon any perceived insult to your honor. There is power there, Penelope. You are the neck that turns the head of the kingdom."
I stared at him.
"I'm sorry. You probably don't understand any of that. You weren't prepared for this. That's not your fault," he said.
And yet, it sort of felt like it was.
"None of this is. His engagement to you is utterly unexpected.
I'm sure their dislike of me has more to do with who I was, and not that I'm marrying their prince." I thought about that. Or it's an equal combination of the two.
"That, and they have all heard that he originally planned to use you for ransom. They don't understand how love has blossomed from that. Neither do I, even after his claims of love."
"Stranger things have happened," I muttered, as Castile moved toward the entryway, just as the door opened. A tall man walked in, black ink swirling over the swarthy skin of both arms, all the way up to his shoulders. His hair was shaggy, a silvery hue that had nothing to do with his age. There were only faint lines at the corners of his eyes when he smiled upon seeing Castile.
"I'm sure they have,"
Alistair said, lowering his voice as Castile clasped hands with the silvery-haired man.
"Was that Jasper?"
He was too far away for me to see his eyes.
"But I've known him his entire life. More importantly, I've seen him in love, Penelope."
By an act of sheer will, I kept my face blank as I looked at Alistair. I couldn't believe he'd said that. But all I felt from him was concern.
"They were expecting someone else as their princess," he went on. "It's not just you."
"Someone who was not the maiden," I surmised.
"Well, of course. But as you know, he was expected to marry upon his return."
He snapped his mouth shut as his brows lowered.
"He didn't tell you."
A strange thumping started in my body.
"Didn't he tell me what?"
Alistair looked away, but I grabbed his arm.
"Didn't tell me what?"
I demanded.
"Good gods, that idiotic boy."
He pinched the bridge of his nose, and I felt the flare of annoyance in him.
"One of these days, I will learn to keep my mouth shut."
I sure hoped not, since it was clear there was a lot I'd never hear if it weren't for him.
"Why do I have the feeling I'm the idiotic boy you speak of?"
Castile asked, as he returned to his seat.
The smile on his face faded as he took in Alistair's and my expressions. What have you two been whispering about?
I don't think now is the time, Alistair started.
I think now is the perfect time, I cut in, well aware that those around us were starting to pay attention. As do I, Castile eyed Alistair. Speak. That one command demanded a response. Alistair shook his head, jaw tight as he said,
You didn't tell her that you were already promised to another.
Chapter 32. The sudden roaring in my ears made me think I hadn't heard Alistair correctly. Or maybe it was because my heart pounded so hard that I'd misheard. But I hadn't, had I? Because suddenly I remembered everything Alistair had said the morning I met him. He'd spoken of obligations upon Castile's return. Marriage was definitely an obligation. A sharp slice of pain tore through my chest. It felt like a crack, and it sounded like thunder in my ears. How no one else heard it was beyond me. Slowly, as if I were caught in the stage between waking and sleep, I turned to Castile. He was speaking, but I couldn't hear him, and I couldn't believe what I'd heard. What I'd just learned. Promised to another. When I met him in the Red Pearl, and he'd been my first kiss. When I knew him as Hawk, and had grown to trust him, desire him, and care for him. Promised to another when he'd taken me under the willow and told me that he didn't care what I was, but rather who I was. When he showed me the kind of pleasure we could find with each other, first in the Blood Forest, and then again in New Haven. Promised to another when I learned the truth of who he was, and when we took from each other in the woods outside of the keep. When I fed him and he thanked me afterward. Promised to another when he proposed marriage as the only way for us to get what we wanted. Promised to another when he said that we could pretend. Promised to another as Kieran claimed we were heartmates and I decided to give him my blood. Promised to another when I told him in the cavern that it had to be real. Somehow, even though I knew that the arrangement between us had not been born of love, and I wasn't sure Kieran knew what he was talking about when it came to the heartmates thing, this betrayal still stabbed more deeply than all Castile's other betrayals. And if that wasn't a wake-up call that I'd already slipped too far, I didn't know what would be. Pain I didn't want to lay claim to ripped through me so fiercely that I thought I would be split in two. But snapping on its heels was an anger so intense that my entire body vibrated with it. Only seconds passed between when Alistair spoke and the bitter, acidic burn of rage pouring like a rainstorm through me. Promise to another, I demanded, my voice surprisingly steady, but so damn raw. I didn't care that we were in a room full of people who disliked me. It's not what you think, Penelope. My brows flew up. It's not? Because I imagine that promise to another means the same thing in Atlantia that it does in Solus. What it means doesn't matter. His eyes were an icy golden color as he stared down at me with an expression I couldn't believe I was seeing. He looked shocked. He looked angry with me. And I could not believe what I was hearing or seeing or living. And he felt angry. Even with my own volatile emotions, I could still feel the cool splash of surprise from him and the burn of anger underneath it. How could you? He started, jaw flexing. His chest rose with a heavy breath. The promise was an oath I never took, did I, Alistair? He tore his gaze from me. Can you claim otherwise?
It was all but agreed to, Alistair responded.
His anger burned through my senses, scorching my skin.
You know what your father has planned for decades, Castile.
Decades? A part of me recognized that Castile denied what Alistair had stated, and that Alistair
had basically confirmed such. So, there was a slight lessening of my fury, a halt to the continuing crack in my chest, but the pain and the anger were still there. This had been discussed for decades? For longer than I'd actually breathed life? Did it not occur to Castile to tell me any of this? To warn me? I pulled my senses back, closing them down. Vaguely, I became aware of the silver-haired man and Kieran approaching. They were close enough to hear everything, close enough for me to see that the newcomer was a Wolven, and that the curve of his jaw and the lines of his cheek seemed familiar. You mean that for decades my father assumed that I would eventually agree, but not once did I ever give him or anyone an indication of such? Castile fired back. You know that. How in the world did this even come up?
How in the world did you not think to tell her?
Alistair demanded. There was a soft inhale from the dissenters, and the silver-haired man murmured,
I have the best timing.
My gaze shot to his and locked. The pale blue eyes flared brightly, nearly luminous, as his lips parted. They moved, but there was no sound. His surprise was like freezing rain, sudden and all-consuming. He jerked, taking a step back. Was it my scars? Or did he feel that weird static charge, even though we didn't touch?
Do you think I don't know why you brought this up?
Castile queried, in a voice too soft, snapping my attention back to him.
It is weak of you.
Alistair tensed beside me.
Did you just call me weak?
A smirk twisted Castile's lips.
What you just did was weak of you. If you think that equates to weakness of mind or body, that is on you, not me.
The Wolven had recovered from his reaction to me. He placed his hands on the table, and when he spoke, his voice was low.
You should both calm down.
I'm perfectly calm, Jasper,
Castile replied. This was Jasper, the Wolven who was supposed to marry us.
Great. Since you're bound and determined to have this conversation right now, when you should have had it in private ages ago, then let's have it out for all to witness, since everyone here has been thinking it from the moment they learned of your engagement.
Alistair snarled.
You may not have agreed, but an entire kingdom, including Gianna, believed you would marry upon your return.
Who the hell was Gianna? Was that her name? The one the king and queen expected Castile to marry when he returned?
This has nothing to do with Gianna,
Castile replied curtly.
I can actually agree with that,
Castile returned.
It has everything to do with the kingdom, your land and your people and your obligation to them. Marrying Gianna would have strengthened the relationship between the Wolven and the Atlanteans.
Jasper's head snapped in Alistair's direction.
You are overstepping, Alistair. You do not speak for the entirety of our people.
The older Wolven burned with rage beside me, but there was a connection there, one that hearkened back to Landell, to one of the things he'd said in response to Castile stating his intention to make me the princess. He'd said that it was supposed to be an honor meant to bring all of their people together.
I know what my obligations are.
Castile's words fell like chips of ice.
And I know exactly what my father expects of me. Those two things are not mutually exclusive, nor would marrying a Wolven suddenly erase the deaths of over half of their people. Anyone who believes that is a fool.
I didn't say I agreed with it.
Alistair picked up his drink.
Perhaps this conversation should occur at another time.
Emil stressed, having moved to Alistair's side. He looked to Jasper as if to say,
Do something.
Jasper sat in the chair Kieran had occupied, and quite frankly, he stared at Alistair as if he hoped the man would continue.
You mean when we don't have one of them sitting right there?
A man spoke, an Atlantean who I thought had been at the house Beckett was injured at.
Who was raised in the pit of vipers and is most likely just as poisonous as the nest she grew up in?
When we're this close to finally seeking retribution against them?
Castile opened his mouth, but something unlocked inside me, raising its head, and whatever it was breathed fire. Years of grooming to remain silent and demure, to allow people to do and say whatever they wanted to me, caught fire and burned to embers and ash. I was simply faster in my response. I'm not one of them, I said, and the focus of the entire room shifted in my direction, all except Castile. He still watched the Atlantean. And I had a wicked suspicion that we were seconds away from repeating what had happened to Landell. I was their maiden, and even though I suspected the Ascended were hiding things, I fully admit to not opening my eyes to who they truly were until I met Castile. But I was never one of them. I met the Atlantean's stare, tasting his anger and distrust, feeling it swell inside me, fueling my burning fury as if he were a lit match. And the next time you want to call me a poisonous viper, at least have the courage to do so while looking me straight in the eye.
Silence. Ian would have said it was so silent you could hear a cricket sneeze. And then Jasper let out a low whistle. The Atlantean snapped out of his stupor.
You were their maiden, the chosen, the queen's favorite. Isn't that what they say?
Dante, Emile warned, shooting the fair-haired Atlantean a sharp look. No one asked for your opinion on this.
But I'm glad he gave it, since I'm well aware that he is not the only one thinking this, I said, flicking my gaze over the room.
Yes! I was the queen's favorite, and I was raised in a cage so pretty that it took a very long time for me to see it for what it was. The Ascended planned to use my blood to make more vampires. That is why I was their maiden. Would you feel loyalty to your captors? Because I do not.
Castile looked at me then, his gaze still icy, but something else moved in those depths. There was no time to figure out what it was, and at the moment, I frankly didn't care.
If that is the truth, then I salute you.
Dante raised a glass.
We all salute you, and I mean that seriously. It is truly few and far between these days that anyone from Solus has had their eyes opened. No offense to those who have who are present.
There were several murmurs before Dante continued.
To learn that you're of Atlantean descent does explain why you're important to them. But you are of better use to you dead?
I interrupted, as Quentin and Beckett came out of the kitchen, carrying freshly baked bread. They stopped, their eyes widening. Dante lowered his glass, staring at me.
I know many of you would prefer to send me back to Queen Ileana in pieces, as does the king, I'm sure.
I lifted my chin, even as a fine tremor shook my hands.
Part of me can't blame any of you for wanting that, especially after learning the truth about them.
A muscle clenched in the Atlantean's jaw, but it was Alistair who spoke.
I told you, Castile. I said that you would encounter pushback if you proceeded with this.
So did Landell.
And what did I tell you when you said that before?
Castile asked.
That this is what you want. That she is what you want,
Alistair said, and my heart twisted in my chest.
And, you know, I want to believe that. Everyone in this room does.
I doubted that.
And the king and queen will want to believe that,
Alistair said.
Especially Ileana. But you've spent decades trying to free your brother instead of accepting what the rest of us have come to terms with. You refused your duties to your people because you weren't ready to let him go, something that I could understand even if it pained me. The last time you left, you had to know there was no longer any hope that he'd return to us. But you still went, gone for years. Gone for so long that your mother began to fear that you too had suffered the same fate as Malik,
he said,
and my heart squeezed for a wholly different reason, while Castile showed no reaction.
But you're returning home with the most guarded jewel of the Ascended. There are few who truly believe this doesn't have anything to do with your brother.
If I hadn't accepted my brother's fate, I wouldn't be leaving Solas, Castile said, and only Kieran and I knew how much it cost him to speak those words. It's no secret that I planned to use Penelope as ransom. I spent those years far from home, working to get close to her. This he directed not just to Alistair, but to the entire room.
I succeeded, and when the time was right, I made my move. I took her.
Castile spoke the truth that was still hard to hear. I took her, and I kept her, but not to use her. Somewhere along the way, I no longer saw her as a bargaining chip or a tool for revenge. I saw her for who she was, who she is. This beautiful, strong, intelligent, endlessly curious and kind woman, who was as much a victim of the Ascended as any Atlanteans. I fell in love with her, probably long before I even realized I had. He laughed, the sound rough, and gods, it sounded so real that my throat knotted. My plans changed. What I believed about Malik changed. And this was before I learned what she was, that she is part Atlantean. She is the reason I came home. My gaze collided with Kieran's, and he nodded as if to confirm what Castile said. But how could it be? When he'd been expected to marry someone else for decades and never once told me. Then again, he had yet to really say a word about Shay. Pressing my lips together, I looked away. If only all of what he'd said was true. The future would be different. Everything would be different. I wished he hadn't spoken those words at all. The old woman Castile had talked to earlier spoke up.
And you knew that he originally planned to use you?
I didn't at first. Not until after he'd already gained my trust and that of the Ascended in charge of me. When I found out, I trailed off, thinking my reaction was best not known.
She stabbed me in the heart with a bloodstone dagger, Castile finished instead.
The old woman blinked, while Jasper gave a sudden bark of laughter.
I'm sorry, he said, but damn, are you for real?
It's true, Kieran confirmed. She thought it would kill him.
Emil started to grin, but one look from Castile stopped that in its tracks. Shifting in the suddenly uncomfortable chair, I wondered how in the world that piece of knowledge helped anything.
I was a little angry.
Castile arched a brow as he glanced at me.
A little?
I narrowed my eyes.
Okay, I was very angry.
I didn't know that,
Alistair said from behind the rim of his cup.
Obviously, Castile takes after his father when it comes to women with sharp objects,
Jasper commented with a snort.
I feel like I'm missing some vital information that Delano conveniently left out when he met me halfway.
I frowned, but at least I knew where Delano had been.
You stabbed Castile, Jasper repeated, in the heart, with bloodstone, and you thought it would kill him.
In my defense, I felt bad afterward.
She did cry, Castile remarked. I was going to stab him again, but I trusted him, and he betrayed that.
I continued. I was the maiden, nearly groomed my entire life to remain pure and focused only on my ascension. I was chosen to be given to the gods, even though I never chose the life. And I don't know what you know of me, but I had no control over where I went, who I spoke to or could speak with. I was veiled, unable to even look someone in the eye if they were allowed to speak with me. I didn't get to choose what I ate, when I left my chambers, or who was allowed to even touch me. But he was the first thing I'd ever truly chosen for myself. My voice cracked slightly as the knot expanded. I took a shallow breath, feeling Castile's gaze on me, but I refused to look at him. I couldn't, because I didn't want to know what he was feeling. I chose him when I knew him as Hawk. I forced myself to continue, to say what I needed to say so that everyone in the room could hear me, even if it felt like I was scraping at a wound in my chest with rusty nails. I didn't know what that would mean at that time, other than I wanted to have something that I actually wanted for myself. I'd already begun to question things, the Ascended, and if I could be or do what they required of me. I'd already begun to realize that I couldn't live like I was any longer, that the Maiden wasn't me, and I was better and stronger and meant for something other than that. But he was the catalyst, in a way, and I chose him. I chose him because he made me feel like I was something other than the Maiden, and he saw me when no one else ever really did. He made me feel alive. He valued me for who I am and didn't try to control me. And then it all seemed like a lie once I realized the truth of who he was and why he was a part of my life. Neither Alistair nor Jasper spoke. I could still feel Castile's stare. I swallowed, but the knot was still there. So, yes, I was very angry. But what I felt for him before remained, and after learning the entire truth about the Ascended and what had happened to him and to his brother, I could understand why he set out to use me. That doesn't mean that it was okay, but I could understand why. I refused his proposal at first, just so you know. Accepting him and allowing myself to feel what I did for him was a betrayal to those who were lost in all of this, and it felt like a betrayal to myself. But I still chose him despite it all. I closed my eyes. Up until this moment, I had spoken the truth, some of it new to me, and I did so for the first time in front of Castile. What came next was easier because it was the lie. We've moved past how we met. At least I have. He loves me, and I wouldn't be here in a room full of people who have spent the entire dinner staring at me in distaste or distrust. I opened my eyes, slowly looking across the table to the two mortal men. If what we felt for one another wasn't real, I surely would not be on my way to an entire kingdom who will likely whisper each time they see me, distrust everything there is about me, and look upon me as if I deserve not even minimal respect. The two men looked away, their cheeks flushing. Dante sat down. I don't know what to say.
You?
Castile cleared his throat.
You don't have to say anything. You, all of you. Just need to accept that this is real.
Real. Alistair leaned back, his gaze heavy and somber. It was Jasper who spoke, with a faint lift of his lips.
If you've chosen her, then how can we not do the same?
Hatred. That was what I tasted in the back of my throat. What I inhaled with every breath as I sat at the table. It came from different directions at different times, pinging around the room, even though most of the tension had left once it didn't appear as if Castile would tear out the hearts of Alistair or Dante. Most returned to their dinners and conversation, except for Castile, who watched me, and the silver-haired woman, who also studied me as if I were some sort of puzzle. But several others in the room didn't stare and remained silent, people who hadn't projected their emotions before, but did so now. Their anger coated every drink I took or piece of food I swallowed with a bitter taste. It took no leap of logic to realize that they weren't happy with what Castile or Jasper had said, nor anything I'd said had changed what they believed of me. It wasn't all of them, thank the gods. But it was enough for me to know that I was still not welcome here. Restlessness hummed through me, an almost nervous sort of energy, as I tried and failed to shut off the emotions of others.
I didn't know why I couldn't when reading the emotions only when I wanted to had become so much easier throughout the day. Was it because I was tired? Maybe it was what happened with Beckett, or possibly even what I'd done in the cavern with Castile. Or perhaps it was learning that Castile had kept yet another thing from me. It was probably all of those things that played a role in my sudden failure to shut down my abilities. I looked at my plate of mostly untouched food, and I simply did not want to sit here any longer. And I was tired of doing things I didn't want to do. "Excuse me," I said to no one in particular, rising from my seat. Jasper watched me but said nothing as I stepped around the chair. I walked past the tables, aware of conversations halting as I passed. I kept my chin high, wishing I had the forethought to go through the clothing Vanetta had brought over. Nothing took the dignity out of one's exit like wearing clothing several sizes too large. But I doubted being dressed in pretty tunics or even the richest of gowns would have changed a damn thing. I pushed open one of the doors and stepped outside, dragging in deep breaths clean of others' emotions. Stars had already started to glimmer in the deepening sky, and I stared upward. I was finally able to close myself off. Turning, I spotted Delano and Nail sitting on the crumbling wall that led to the bay. I didn't try to read them, and it worked. Their emotions weren't forced onto me.
"You look like you could use a drink,"
Delano offered the bottle of brown liquid he held.
"It's whiskey."
I walked over, taking the bottle by the neck. "Thank you," I said, lifting it. The woody aroma was powerful.
"Tastes like horse piss,"
Nail said.
"Fair warning."
I nodded, tipping the bottle to my mouth and taking a long swallow. The liquor burned my throat and eyes. Coughing, I pressed the back of my hand to my mouth as I handed the bottle to Delano.
"I don't know what horse piss tastes like, but I'm sure that's a good comparison."
Nail chuckled.
"We were getting ready to head in there."
Delano stretched out his legs, crossing them at the ankles.
"But we figured we'd wait until the air cleared a bit."
"Good choice," I muttered.
"Looks like the room is airing out now."
Nail's gaze flicked over my shoulder. The muscles in the back of my neck tightened. "Please tell me that's not him."
"Well, I suppose it depends on who him is,"
Delano drawled. I turned to see Castile coming down the steps and across the short distance that separated us. His gaze locked onto mine.
"I have a feeling the air is going to get a bit thick out here."
Nail hopped off the wall.
"I think it's time we head inside."
"Wise call,"
Castile remarked, his gaze nearly feral, never leaving mine. Delano pushed off the wall.
"Please, no stabbing. All of that makes me anxious."
I crossed my arms. "No promises." Castile smirked, but said nothing as Nail and Delano made their way back into the fort. He stared at me. I stared at him. "Do you need something?"
"That's a loaded question."
I was hoping it was a rhetorical one with the answer being, "Obviously no," I said.
"Sorry to disappoint you," he replied.
"Why did you leave?"
"I wanted a few moments to myself, but apparently that isn't going to happen." A muscle flexed in his jaw.
"I'm sorry, Poppy."
My brows lifted as I focused on him. There was still a potent thread of anger in him, and I didn't delve deeper into the layers of emotions.
"About what exactly?"
"About more than one thing, apparently," he replied,
and my eyes narrowed.
"But I'd like to start with how my people have behaved toward you. I hate that they've made you feel so unwelcome, and I hate that you know how they feel. I can promise you that will change."
You really believe that you can change that?"
"You can't,"
I told him before he answered. "They will either accept me or not. Either way, I expected this, and there's no way you didn't. You just hoped I wouldn't read them."
"I wished you wouldn't have known," he corrected.
"How could I not wish that?
and I do believe how they feel about you will change.
Pressing my lips together, I looked away. I didn't think it was impossible for them to change. Feelings were not stagnant. Neither were opinions or beliefs. And if we stopped believing people were capable of change, then the world might as well be left to burn.
We need to talk, and not about the people in that room, he said.
I turned from him to where the reflection of the moon rippled across the bay.
That's the last thing I want to do right now.
Do you have better ideas?
He stepped closer, the heat and scent of him reaching me.
I know I do.
My gaze shot to him. If you're suggesting what I think you are, I'm going to stab you in the heart again. Castile's eyes flashed a warm honey.
Don't tempt me with empty promises.
You are so twisted. Alistair was right. I do take after my father when it comes to women with sharp objects, he said. I don't care. He ignored that.
My mother has stabbed my father a time or dozen over the years. He claims he deserved it each time, and truthfully, he never seemed all that torn up about being stabbed. Probably had something to do with the fact that they'd been holed up in their private chambers for days after a spat.
Glad to know the disturbed apple doesn't fall too far from the crazy tree. He chuckled. The door opened behind us, and Kieran prowled out.
Don't yell at me, he said as the door swung closed behind him. But my father wants to speak to you.
Your father? I frowned. Then it occurred to me. Jasper? Kieran nodded, and now I knew why I thought some of Jasper's features were familiar. A muscle flexed in Castile's jaw once more.
He's going to
go speak with Jasper, I cut in, because as I already said, I don't want to talk to you right now.
Keep telling yourself that, and maybe it'll be true.
Castile turned to Kieran as I came this close to punching him. I really hope your father has a good reason for wanting to speak with me right this moment.
Knowing